If we're going to be successful in life, if we're going to have healthy relationships, if we're going to have a strong, growing relationship with God, we're going to have to be good listeners. But we all know that's a lot of work. And prayer is certainly us saying words and saying prayers. But that listening, receptive dimension is very important as well. I'd just like to ask a little question here and see a show of hands. How many of you, at least at one time in your life, have had someone significant in your life say to you, "You need to listen better"? You ever had that happen? How many of you had that communication come your way at least 100 times over the course of your lifetime? You know, there's something in this listening area that I've always kind of struggled with, and I know many other people do as well, but sometimes I'll be in conversation with someone, and they're talking, and all of a sudden I'll just kind of like start drifting a little bit in my head, and then pretty soon I've kind of left the room, and there's kind of a glazed look that comes over my eyes. It's this kind of look I see on some of your faces right now. So, but we've probably all been there, and it's hard work to listen well, but it really can be a great act of love. And it's a dimension that Jesus brings out in this gospel today that's going to be key for our own discipleship and spiritual growth. As he's on Mount Tabor with three of his closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, and there's this powerful religious experience. Jesus is transfigured. They're awestruck, almost speechless. And then the voice of the Heavenly Father is heard. "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him." You know, those apostles there, Peter, James, and John, the others, they were right there with Jesus when he was doing his teaching, proclaiming his gospel message. But were they really listening? At one level, they were. But at the level of the soul, maybe not so much, because you read through the Gospels and you see that, you know, they struggle with selfish ambition and pettiness, kind of hard-headedness, hard-heartedness, and sometimes just not getting it. They really didn't listen that well, but they would. There would be transformation and change that would happen. But I think that's really the challenge for all of us, because we can get so busy and sometimes so distracted that sometimes that humility even can be lacking, that receptivity. A little while back, I read a book by a Christian author by the name of Max Lucado. He's written lots of books on spirituality. And the title of this book was Just Like Jesus. But I was really intrigued by the subtitle on it. And the subtitle was, "God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to let you stay that way. He wants you to become just like Jesus." And I think that's really the way Jesus ministered. He took people where they were at. And sometimes people were on the mountaintop. Life was going great for them. Sometimes average everyday life. And there were times Jesus connected with people when they were really in a deep valley. They were struggling. Sometimes all bound up in guilt and shame, woundedness. Sometimes people's lives were a real mess. And what Jesus did, he met people where they were at, he loved them where they were at, and he lifted them up, and he helped them to grow. And I think that's good news for you and me, because that's the way he is with us. And as we gather this morning in this church, we're in different places. Some of you are, you're on the mountaintop, things are going great. Maybe it's just average everyday life, and some of you really got some struggles going on right now. And maybe you feel like your life is kind of a mess, or there's a lot of tangle that you're in and some woundedness you're dealing with. To know that Jesus meets us right where we're at, he loves us where we're at, but he doesn't want us to stay there. Even if we're going great, he wants us to keep growing. And that's the grace he gives. But you know what he needs in order for that to happen? He needs for us to really have that humble listening posture before him. Because when we do, he's going to give us what we need to keep growing. Because what does he want? He wants us to become more and more like him, more and more Christ-like. You know, Jesus desired to make discipleship accessible for everyone. We don't have to have a PhD. We don't have to have spectacular gifts and talents. But what we do need to have is that virtue of humility and a listening heart, that listening posture. And maybe you've had a chance to watch some of the Olympics over the past month. And these athletes obviously have great gifts and talents, God-given gifts and talents. But to get to that level, they needed to practice hard. They needed discipline to get to that level. And really, in any area of life, if we're going to be successful, if we're going to grow, we're going to need some discipline and hard work. The same with our Christian discipleship. And it can't be microwaved. We can't snap our fingers and all of a sudden we're at a place of great holiness. We're going to need to do our part. Ultimately, faith is a gift from God. Everything is a gift from God. But in order for us to really grow, we're going to have to do our part. And we're going to have to practice. And we even talk about the practice of our faith, the disciplines of Lent. Not that it's all about us, but we definitely got to do our part. And I think for our growth, it's really the basics are the key, because Jesus didn't want to make this complicated. And what we do this morning as we gather for Mass and the Eucharist, that's the core. At the Last Supper, Jesus gave himself in the Eucharist. And for us as Catholics, it's really about this, the discipline of gathering and receiving the Lord in Holy Eucharist. Not that every Mass is going to be a life-changing experience for us, but the Lord is present. And if we're present, he's going to help us to grow. But what happens, and here I see this all the time, is we can so easily drift from what is most important in our spiritual life. And you miss a week, and all of a sudden it becomes 2 weeks, then a month. Pretty soon, maybe we might be going like a quarterly or Christmas and Easter, and it's so easy to drift. You know, last weekend in the Gospel, we heard of the evil one working on Jesus to pull him away from his mission. You know what the evil one desires to do in our lives is to subtly pull us away from what is truly life-giving. And if we drift away from the Eucharist, which is really the heart and soul of our Catholic faith, we're going to be weakened. And I see that when I celebrate weddings and funerals and first communions and confirmations, and those who are gathered, I could just have a sense when drift is taking place in people's spiritual lives and they're no longer connected. It can easily happen to any of us. But when we stay rooted in the Lord, he keeps us growing. He keeps us strong for the journey. Our daily prayer, can we drift in that area? I even have that struggle sometimes, to be perfectly honest with you. Life gets busy. We have a lot of things pulling us this way and that way. And before we know it, we're just not connecting with God the way we need to do that. But when we do, we're connected to the heart and mind of God through our prayer. We're all unique. We all pray in different ways. The important thing is that we do pray and have that time of connection with God. On Ash Wednesday, Jesus lifted up almsgiving as a spiritual practice that keeps us healthy. Spiritual almsgiving is generosity, it's sharing, it's service, it's acts of charity. This weekend at all the Masses, we have the annual baby bottle fundraiser, which supports Corbella Clinic in Elgin. And they minister to women who are experiencing crisis pregnancies. There's all kinds of wonderful charities out there like that. And I think for us to wisely share some of the blessings we have been given to help others, it's a spiritually healthy practice. It wards off selfishness. Acts of charity and service. There's a ministry that just started up recently here, and it didn't come from me or from our parish leadership. It came from people in the pews. And it's called Loaves and Fishes. Once a month, there's a community dinner downstairs here. It's completely overseen and led by parishioners. And some of the folks who come, you know, there's usually, we've only have 3 days now, 70 to 100 people. Some are homeless. Some are really struggling in life. Some are just people who are disconnected and need some social connection. And there's a warm Christian environment downstairs and a good meal. Seems very simple. But can't Christ work through that kind of generosity and kindness? You know, each of us in our own way, we can use our gifts and talents to make a difference and to serve in acts of charity. It could be something small, even something like that loaves and fishes. As we gather this morning, actually this afternoon now, this Lenten, second Sunday of Lent, let's ask the Lord to give us that humble spirit, that receptive spirit, that listening posture to hear him. He is the words to eternal life. The Heavenly Father said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." If we do, the Lord will breathe into us what we need. And as that little book I mentioned by Max Lucado, Just Like Jesus, he takes us right where we're at. He doesn't want us to stay there because he wants us to grow. So let us listen to him, and he will lead us where we need to be so we can share his good news.